In December 2013, Earth Justice sued the Navy on behalf of several environmental groups. At issue was the Navy's sonar training exercises in waters off Hawaii and Southern California, specifically the mammals that would be killed or injured as a result. Last week, a federal judge agreed the training violated environmental laws. I talked with Earth Justice Attorney David Henkin and asked why we can have all these laws violated and continue to see frequent lawsuits to make the point.
Well, it is a frequent occurrence, and, you know, I guess I'd look at it more optimistically, which is that in America, we're fortunate that we have the ability for citizens to go to court and hold their government accountable. And in particular, in the context of the military, we can actually have citizens groups go to court and hold the Navy accountable for protecting marine mammals and endangered species. I spoke at a UN conference a few years back in Okinawa, and there are groups around the world that are struggling in similar ways with harm to the environment by the military. And I guess one thing that we can feel a little proud about is, at least in the U.S., we can take our military to court and they will listen to the judge.
Two things that have never been disputed either by the Navy or by the organizations that you represent. One, that the Navy needs to practice. And two, that in doing so, there are going to be marine mammals who will be hurt, killed. Doesn't this go to a conversation about where and when the Navy should be practicing?
It does, but first let me clarify. The numbers that we relied on in the lawsuit, the numbers that the court relied on in issuing its ruling in our favor, are the Navy's numbers and the Fishery Service numbers. So it's the Fishery Service that authorized the Navy over a five-year period to kill up to 155 marine mammals, to permanently injure over 2,000 more, and we shouldn't minimize the importance of this, to disrupt essential behaviors like feeding and sleeping and nursing your young and communicating nearly 10 million times. Those aren't our numbers. Those are the Fishery Service numbers. Those are the Navy's numbers. Those are numbers that many marine biologists might say are underestimates of the harm. And what the judge said is, well, the reason the Navy came to you for a permit under the Endangered Species Act, the Marine Mammal Protection Act, is because if these injuries and deaths do happen, they wanted them to be permitted. They wanted them to be authorized. They wanted them to be legal. So you can, on the one hand, say, you know, we're going to give out, like candy, permits to kill and injure marine mammals, but we really don't expect it to happen. So we never actually analyzed what the effects on the marine mammal species and populations would be if this, in fact, did happen. The effect of having a permit means that if they killed all of those marine mammals, injured all those marine mammals, they could continue on with their business because they've got a permit in their back pocket.
It gives them license to do it again.
Exactly. And that's why, in the court's opinion, she said, I'm not going to look at, you know, you now come into court and say this is what we anticipate will really happen. I'm going to look at what you authorized, and you're responsible for what you authorized. Because there are very serious legal consequences for the Navy to kill and injure marine mammals beyond what's authorized. So those are the numbers they need to look at. To get back to your earlier question, one other major factor is not in dispute. And that is that the injuries and the deaths occur when military training, when Navy training and testing, and marine mammals are in close proximity. So you only get vessel strikes that kill large endangered whales like blue whales and humpback whales. You only get explosives that can kill pods of dolphins like happened in 2011 off of San Diego, where four dolphins got too close to an explosives training exercise and were killed. You only get sonar permanently deafening marine mammals. And the most powerful Navy sonar, a single ping, can permanently deafen an animal when that animal is a football field away. You only get that when they're very close to the training. And so from the Fisheries Service to the Navy to the groups that we represent, there's universal agreement that the way that you avoid these most serious harm and injury and death is that you create buffers between where the marine mammals are congregating and where the training is happening.
Which takes us right back to where and when. Have there been any substantive discussions about changing both of those variables?
Well, we attempted to have those discussions when the Fisheries Service and the Navy were initially approving and asking for this training to take place. And it was the Navy and Fisheries Service refusal to examine alternate ways of doing the training. And I really do want to emphasize, and you've got the point absolutely correct, it's not whether the Navy is going to do training and testing that it believes it needs to do. It's how. It's not whether, but how. And it's the how that the law insists that the Navy go the extra mile. They can't just do what's convenient, you know, what would be not a hassle. They need to, you know, do what is possible in order to avoid the injury and death. And so earlier we had identified specific areas that are biologically important, ones where marine mammals breed and feed and are really essential to the well-being of those populations. And again, these are not our areas. We didn't make them up. These come from the Fisheries Service own biologists who have identified with independent scientists what areas are biologically important. And they're really a very, very small fraction of the overall training area. So here in the Pacific, the training in Hawaii and Southern California, the training range, if you will, is over 3.7 million square miles. The biologically important area, for example, for the blue whale, an endangered whale species off of Southern California, is 725 square miles. So 725 out of 3.7 million square miles. And it's not even year-round. The blue whales are there relying on those areas for feeding only from June to October. So it's like our humpbacks that just come in the winter. They're just there June to October. So what the Navy, when it says it needs unrestricted access to all of 3.7 million square miles of ocean, and it can't stay out of a 725 square mile feeding area for a few months out of the year, that's what the judge last week ruled was implausible, was hyperbole. She just doesn't believe it. So when we go back to the court for relief, we're going to be asking for really these postage stamp sized areas that are, you know, small in area, but huge in importance. So, for example, these biological areas for the blue whale constitute only about 2% of the area where they roam, but they're seen 87% of the time in those areas. So it's highly concentrated activity, and that's what needs to be placed off limits. We've invited the Navy and Fisheries Service to have a conversation with us to try and identify slight modifications to the areas in which they train. Again, for blue whales, it's not all the months out of the year. For humpback whales in Hawaiian waters, it's not all the months out of the year. So what are the time and area limitations that we could put in place and virtually eliminate the possibility of death and permanent injury and allow the Navy to do the training that it says it needs to do? And we, you know, I think rather than having the, you know, sort of having the court decide, if the parties can agree on what's workable, what's practicable, that's the best way to go forward.
Has the Navy accepted your invitation to have that conversation?
We're trying to determine whether they want to have that conversation.
Well, we hope that that becomes a successful option. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
David Henkin is a staff attorney for Earth Justice in the Mid-Pacific Regional Office. He represented several environmental groups in a lawsuit filed in 2013 challenging the Navy's locations for sonar training.